This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting, April 24th, 2008.
On to approval of the minutes from April 10th. Please take those out and look those over. I'm going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes from the April 10th meeting are approved. On to open microphone. At this time, I'd like to remind all undergraduate community members that they are non-voting members of the Student Assembly, and if they'd like to come forward to discuss an issue that's not on the agenda, now would be the time to do it. Anyone? Go ahead, Guy.
All right.
Guy, go listen to the good one. Citizen Monza. Absolutely. I believe, yes, that it's the most convenient time for the most amount of students.
Okay. So, I guess
I mean, what's that? For administrators and faculty, it's the most ideal time. If we were to move it at another time, it's probably going to conflict with classes. And then if you want to conflict on the weekends, then you have quality of life issues. And then also athletes can also do that.
Okay. So.
Go ahead.
I mean, not to say it can't be a topic of discussion. I mean,
yeah.
This is what it's been. We don't know the exact legislative history, I guess you would say, behind this. We can explore evening meetings. Why don't we, that could be either the first thing on the agenda of the executive board for next year, or we can discuss it next week at an executive board meeting, but we might as well discuss it and
sure.
Come up with ideas.
Thank you for bringing that forward, Jack. Anyone else for open microphone? All right, on to announcements and reports. The first is a UA update from Representative Chris Basil.
Yeah, he told us on the day he's going to deliver a note that the UA finally passed the campus code of conduct provision. They can call me in the UJC. So that was basically just a simple
process. Any questions for Chris? Alon.
There was a lot of debate when faculty members put forward an amendment to specifically a lot of the contention was over one provision that did not permit lawyers to accompany students other than for cases where the punishment is suspension or expulsion. So for drinking, drugs, et cetera, from JA, you can't have a lawyer with you. And a lot of faculty felt this way. I think overall, the reason that the UFC had that provision in there is because it was sort of a compromise with the institution. I don't know attorneys basically with the students and the students were full of that compromise that was just for suspension and expulsion.
Ahmed.
I was just wondering about the provision that the president had the final authority for. Did that also pass? And then the standard of evidence, what is it?
Who's that?
Katie.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was just asking questions.
Yeah, but, I mean, does anyone else have any questions? Other questions? All right, we'll move on. Yeah, Mark?
Was there any, what was the discussion about, because I know we were, I spent a couple of years and I'm concerned about it, but there was a substantial discussion about that.
The UA probably talked about that issue for about an hour, about a month ago before I brought to you guys. The way the faculty operated, they have their position, and How is that the middle ground? I'm just saying, you know, for example, for the representation issue, I think what ultimately happened within the CJC was the president convinced, with the president's representative convinced the CJC that having that clause in there was going to be good, was a positive thing.
Ahmed.
Why is it a positive thing?
Well, I mean, basically give the president the power, give the president broader powers to remove a student for, you know, for instance, something like what happened to Duke, something in that sense. The only reason the faculty were wary of provision is they felt like it was...
Oh, what do you mean something like the thing that Duke...
Something like Duke lacrosse rape scandal.
Yeah, alleged rape scandal.
The alleged rape scandal.
Okay.
The whole point is the administration removed the students, you know, beforehand. Obviously, it turned out to be bad news, but...
Well, that's why we were worried about some provisions like that in our administration took to act irrationally and in response to public pressure.
Yeah.
And they don't take into account the rights of the students. I'm just curious, like, I mean, obviously it's passed, but I guess we don't really have much to do. Unless we do have something we can do about it, but...
I mean, the UA can change the code.
Okay, great. So but I guess my question to you is, like, what is the middle ground? I fail to see what that middle ground is. I'm not accusing you of saying, like, how does the UA feel this is a new middle ground, really? Like, what concessions did the administration make? Because they didn't seem to make much.
I mean, on this issue, the administration was very adamant that having these provisions in place would be, you know, best for basically every issue in terms of safeguarding students, you know, in cases where a student would, you know, a child's temporary work, something like that. I mean, there are a lot of cases where having broader presidential powers, you know, protect students from the and again, I mean, the Duke administration has paid restitution to the Duke Cross Bears, and, you know, obviously nothing can sort of take back what happened.
Okay, and then what, I'm just curious, so, sorry, just so that I don't take offense. So tell me, like, other examples of where the administration would concede.
I mean, I mentioned the...
I
mentioned the lawyers, but nothing else comes to mind right now.
Okay, so they didn't really concede on anything else.
I mean, I wasn't part of the CJC process.
All right. Kate, do you want to add something about the UA?
Can you go to the microphone? Sorry. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah, make a comment, but this is a UA update, not a UA debate.
I'm just like a little terrified that the administration like wanted to take away our rights of attorney, like wanted to change the like the standard of evidence. Like, I'm really curious as to why there wasn't these concessions were made. I don't know.
I'm sure if Ahmed
can be invited to come. I know this is next week is the last meeting, but really, I'm really curious to know the students should know why is our administration so adamant about taking away our constitutional rights one by one?
All right, I can understand that. And then, Chris, if you can maybe arrange for a CJC official or someone to be here next week that might be able to answer the questions and grievances that Ahmed has aired. Let's move on from this. Mark, go ahead.
Is this because, you know, I don't want to think it's just like two people and they like, how do other people feel about this? Like just, I mean, obviously we haven't gotten to speak to the CJC and stuff, but does this resonate with anybody else? Like, is this...
Mark, Ryan?
I would thank you both for bringing it up, and I think it's, everyone is at least sharing opinions of, well, we need more information right now. So I think it would be at the least appropriate to have possibly faculty members or possibly the chair, I don't know if Marty Hatcher is the chair of the CJC, he's not, to come next week. And if that's not possible, maybe a more detailed report of the legislative history of the discussion. I agree. We need more information.
All right. Let's move on because we do have a lot to get to, and then we'll come back to this next week. We'll make sure that's on the agenda. Any other announcements or reports? All right. On to business of the day. The first is Collegiate Readership Program. Expense report from Mr. Robin Irwin. I want to thank Robin for coming all the way from Buffalo to present the expense report in accordance with Appendix B. This Collegiate Readership Program budget needs to be presented at the end of each semester. So Robin is here to do that. She's very thoughtfully put together this PowerPoint presentation that you all should have in front of you. Robin, take it away. Thank you so much. Questions for Robin. Andrew.
Thank you for coming. Just a quick question. I was wondering if we see boxes that are broken or in operation, who do we actually use for?
It's a
good
question. Actually, we email
you. Oh, just email you.
Robin, thanks so much for coming. We really do appreciate it. Absolutely. Enjoy the weather. Also, in accordance with Appendix B, class councils need to present their budget before every convocation. Vince Hartman is the president of the class of 2008, and he's going to do that very briefly now. Questions for Vince about the class council's budget. One.
$6 to $7 for the
Gotcha. Ahmed?
Yeah, was anyone else on the speaker?
Mark?
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to commend the class council this year on the, I want to say, like, especially the program the president scored for seniors. I thought that was a very great success. I hope that future classes are able to continue such a program. And, I think that overall, it seems like you guys have done a lot better in terms of budgeting correctly for events. I'm sure some events have been hit or miss, like all other events, but I think you guys' programs overall have reached a wide array of students, and I really congratulate you this year for paying a lot of close attention to the budget and not wasting a lot of money like last year's council events.
Mark?
I actually wanted to start by saying pretty much exactly what I said. I thought I think everybody was ready from the last that they got to go to the presidential meet and greet. That was fantastic. My advisor there, Isaac Kramnik. I asked him, you know, he's been here forever, but I asked him if he had ever seen anything like that. He said no. I think it's phenomenal. I hope that the future class councils will emulate that example. Our very own Chris Starr has a very good job playing the saxophone. I had no idea he played. I think overall it was amazing, and I think that even President Swart was surprised by the turnout. And I think it's probably one of the best events that Class Council put on this year has ever put on. And I just got a few surprise participants.
Questions or comments? All right, Vince, thank you for putting this together, and thanks also to Jen Davis, your advisor, for putting this all together. We appreciate it. We have a review of the 08-09 academic calendar by C.J. Slicken. Thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome.
But we do not have copies of the calendar, so we're just going to move that to next week. Yes, Vince, then. Make it what? Okay, we're going to move it to next week, so, because we don't have it in front of everyone. Appendix B, let's move on to the, Appendix B and Resolution 22, revision to Appendix B and the SA Charter. Vice President Gay is here, so Vice President Lavin will be leading us through the discussion, or will answer questions as he can. I did speak with the Athletics Department. Andy Noel is out of town. He's in Florida. His assistant, Jeff Hall, could not make it. If we want to continue, maybe.
Actually, I've got a point of. Can I raise a point of personal privilege? Because I actually talked to Andy.
Okay.
If I may.
Go ahead.
Do you want to do that right now?
Sure.
Okay. I called, just like CJ said, Andy's out of town, but he was gracious enough to call me back. We played a little cell phone tag, but we ended up reaching each other this morning. I asked him if it was okay. Because he said it was okay for us to put in the byline funding stipulations that hockey ticket prices will not be raised for the next 2 years. And he said that is okay because they do not plan on raising it anyway. I said, I just want to clarify, I repeat it again, that it will be okay to put it in the stipulations for funding. He said, does that mean that, you know, our funding will be contingent on keeping hockey ticket prices fixed? I said that would be one of the conditions, and he said that I'm fine with that. So I would urge you when time comes that we add what I've been trying to add all along, the hockey ticket freeze clause, if you will, the price freeze clause.
Do you want to make the amendment now, Ahmed?
Yeah, sure. Athletics will not raise hockey ticket prices for the duration of byline funding
supplement. Say it again.
Athletics will not raise hockey ticket prices for the duration, male ice hockey, whatever it's called, the official price card.
Men's varsity
hockey ticket prices for the duration of the byline funding cycle. I hope this will be happening.
Akhmed's motion to amend Appendix B now reads, point four, athletics will not raise men's varsity ice hockey ticket prices for the duration of the byline funding cycle. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing none, that's been added. It still needs to be approved. Yes.
I made an amendment last week at the end. I made an amendment last week at the end of numbers 1, 2, 3 about the numbers that's not in there.
NASDAQ, I would assume it's just a mistake. I wouldn't think anyone conspired to do that. So let's just correct it.
Okay.
I don't on me.
Another one. Liz, do you have the wording from last week?
Okay.
What?
Do we have to verify?
What's that?
Hockey
I mean, it's you can
we have to vote it on it.
You have to.
Okay.
Will we go to vote?
That's fine. You want to table? There's been a motion to table Appendix B discussion until next week. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Vince?
I would like to discuss the amendment that was on the floor before we table Appendix B.
We passed it.
It was not passed. The discussion ended because we didn't have enough members present.
Oh, for last week.
Yeah.
Well, we can table athletic.
All right.
Sorry.
NASDAQ, you withdraw your amendment motion?
It's going to give me the wording.
We don't have the wording. We don't. It's not there. Do you withdraw your amendment, yes or no?
No.
Okay. We will now. Is there a discussion? No, you can't, because the change has already been made. We don't have an accurate record of what it was. There's a motion to table Appendix B until next week. It was seconded. There was dissent. All in favor of motion tabling Appendix B's discussion until next week, please raise your hand. One, two, high. I can't see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so it fails.
Did you have a point of view? It just seems wrong unless we can actually get the word when we vote on something that is not enough to upgrade the record. Then it's not an issue where we should want to vote on something that should be tabled.
Yeah, I'm fine with tabling it. All right, I'm tabling this until next week. Unless there's all
the
did a motion to overrule my decision as the chair is seconded.
Explain why it's a debate.
Yeah, we'll open up a speaker's list and all that jazz. It's been seconded. There's dissent. Is there dissent? Is anyone dissent
to overrule?
Throw me out there. All right, we will open up a speaker's list. Achman. I chose it because I think we need to have an accurate and full discussion next week when we have all the information.
I'm just curious. The only reason I wanted to get other things out of the way. Like we could wait on that. We don't have to pass Appendix B today. But if there's amendments on the floor, we can just get rid of all of that. Next week we can have NASDAQ accurate wording. And we can be ready to roll. I don't know why we're
doing that. I'm just being sensitive of the fact that we have now.
Are there other things missing?
I'm being sensitive to the fact that we, as a result of last week when we had to end this discussion because we didn't even have 15 members to discuss, we now have 15. We have three charter amendments that need to be discussed. And if they're not discussed today, they're gone.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I withdraw my motion.
You withdraw your.
Yeah, I withdraw my motion.
Well, you still made the motion we're discussing. We have to vote on it. You call the question? Is there a second? Is there any dissent? All right. All in favor of voting to overrule my decision as the chair, please raise your hand. One. All opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. By a vote of 1-17, that motion fails. I'm sorry. On to... the SAFC new commissioner's approval by Taylor Mulheron, Jack Castle, and Ian Lessig. We should have the list of new commissioners. Do we have that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I
said have something in writing about the hockey
league? When we go to vote on it, that could be something that you bring up. Yes, I agree. All right, Ian and Jack, we have a list of new commissioners, and then people we didn't select. I didn't see that. Do you want to give us a brief overview of who these people are, what the process was for selecting these people? SA members can ask questions, and then we can either vote to approve or deny. Sent out in the agenda last night. That's all right. Is there any questions about these commissioners? Not about the process of how they were selected or how you disagree with how they were selected, just about the commissioners? Are there any motions to approve? Yes, Asa.
Were all these commissioners selected from various classes or specifically
other classes? Well, we actually just
All right, we'll open up the speakers list. Lavin?
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? All right, these commissioners are approved. Thank you, Jack. Next item is the new guidelines proposal by Taylor, Jack, and Ian. You should have there's a Cliff Notes version of the 2008 SAFC changes. And is that it? Do we have the other thing? Do we have the funding guidelines? Everyone has that? Oh, okay, they're scattered out. All right, so basically, the SAFC here, what? Okay, can I have a copy of the funding guidelines?
Here.
All right.
You just had that.
Well, I didn't. This is a charter.
All right, that's fine.
Okay, yeah. So what they did basically, Jack, why don't you summarize what they did with the overview, and then we'll open up the speakers list. And
So basically what kind of goal was
I got you all.
The president was multiple things
go ahead.
Basically, what we added to the handbook in this session is more information on the code of conduct and solutions for individuals that are using spaces of work collaborating on for the purpose. Chapter 3 is general principles for the conduct. So this basically outlines how students have to go about applying the budget application and responding to data. One thing that we did actually is that if you have difficulty using the online application before the deadline is change for local events is that now there was a funding change was students buses to the inventory of all the students and purchases as they were being affected in funds, and no changes were made to publications. Next is chapter 10. This discusses the negotiated rates for copy and chalk advertising and transportation. We felt that included in a separate chapter would make it a lot easier for students to manage those transactions when something for twice for the application. Chapter 11 is also the documentation section. In the sections for chapter 11, we basically streamlined all the wording for documentation that was found in each single period. So, this is a summary of all of our documentation. The one change that we're making this year, accuracy involves submitting emails with Fedora and WebMail, is that we're no longer requesting WebURL, DM email, but it must provide an email for summary of all of our documentation.
All right, we'll open it up to a speaker's list to review. The way the SAFC did this was, if I read your email correctly, you basically voted to oust the old book, the old guidelines, and then you took another vote to instate all of these new guidelines, correct?
Correct.
So there was two votes taken by the SAFC. The first was to get rid of it. The second is to implement these.
Correct. Both votes were unanimous.
Great. All right, we will open up a speaker's list. Lavin is first.
Well, just quickly, two things that I just want to say I think are very good, productive changes. One being that the groups can now appeal on the grounds of, I guess, SAFC oversight. I think a good majority of them that came that, you know, maybe didn't constitute under your categories for appeals came and were maybe even granted for that. I think that was a good move, as well as taking the URLs out. But I guess for discussion, I would think there are a lot of opinions on this. Can I possibly motion to split discussion by chapter?
That's fine.
Okay.
So Vice President Levin has motioned to split discussion and voting on these by chapter. I haven't asked for a second yet, but is there a second? There is dissent. NASDAQ? You're...
The only change that I have is that I talked to Jack, I don't think he's voted in the chat, and I think that if there's any changes, we'll make them, we can just go on the whole thing. Some chapters are in paragraphs.
How many people are on the speaker's list? I guess I just assumed that there were going to be a lot of...
A lot. One, two, six more.
I'll remove that, and then I think if we feel that discussion is getting haphazard, I remove it.
NASDAQ.
Thank you. I talked to Jack about the...
Go ahead.
Just to make it the correct process. So it begins in the middle of page 6433 where it's decision. And I would actually move to change the word decision to recommendation there. And then I'm going too fast, so I'm going to suggest, but I'm going to say the committee then deliberates, take out some closed session, and it says, strike the rest. So it's going to be said the committee then deliberates and makes a recommendation which the Vice President of Finance will present to the Student Senate. That's what the recommendation will say. Then after that...
Hold on.
Okay.
So you've deleted decision, changing it to recommendation, and now it reads, the committee then deliberates, and the vice president for finance makes a recommendation to the entire assembly.
The committee then deliberates and makes a recommendation, which the vice president of finance will present to the entire student body.
Makes a recommendation. That the VP finance
will present to the student assembly that day.
Okay.
And then 6434 says the SAP finance is going to follow the and take that decision and change that to appropriations committee recommendation.
Okay.
Then after that, as such notice includes, number one, the report of the committee strike decision and change that to recommendation. Number three, under such notice includes, says the date, time, and location of the SAP meeting where the strike decision, change that to recommendation, will be recorded. And that's it. Strike the rest of that. There's an in case. Strike the in case. And then add number four. So the session includes number four, the fact that the student assembly makes the ultimate decision on the appeal.
Such notice includes.
Number four. Because number three, I struck with it, in case of the commission to ask wishes to seek reconsideration of that meeting, we don't reconsider it, and we actually make the decision. Such notice includes number four, the fact that SA makes the ultimate decision on the appeal.
Okay.
On the next page, 18, 6435, report to the student assembly. The SAP finance reports the committee to strike the decision to change that to recommendation. Orally, meeting the student assembly after he should provide a written notice of the committee's recommendation. And then after that, it will say the next. Student assembly may reverse the decision of the, and then the rest of that paragraph, appropriations committee, and the next one to strike the rest of that. And instead say the student assembly may reverse the decision of the commission, period. And then add, after that, otherwise the decision of the commission on the appeal stands.
Otherwise what?
The decision of the commission on the appeal stands. And I capitalize the commission for this and do that throughout two statements. So the commission should be capitalized. And finally, 6.5, final appeals from budget. The disputes about the propriety of policies themselves or further appeal decisions are reviewed by the SA Appropriations Committee or the Student Assembly. I would just need to take out SA Appropriations Committee or the and just say it's already reviewed by the Student Assembly.
In summation, I'll do it, and then if I don't have it correct, tell me. 6433 is now changed to recommendation and reads, the committee then deliberates and makes a recommendation that the VP for Finance will present to the entire assembly, to the SA. 6434, the SA Vice President of Finance informs the following of the Appropriations Committee's recommendation. Going down, such notice includes point one, decision is now recommendation. Point three, decision is recommendation. And in case either the commission or the applicant wishes to seek reconsideration at that meeting is struck. Adding point four, the fact that the SA makes the ultimate decision on the appeal is added. Page 18 at the top, 6435, decision is now changed to recommendation. New is changed to next. And decision is changed to recommendation. The next paragraph reads, the student assembly may reverse the decision of the commission. Otherwise, the decision of the commission, the appeal stays. And finally, 6.5, strike SA Appropriations Committee or the.
Stands.
There's been a second to the amendment. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, those changes are there in the active document. They still need to be approved by a majority, as this is a policy of the committee. Next on the speakers list is Ahmed. Vince? 2 minutes.
Just want to inform everyone that I sat through the whole SAP process and went through the
documentation with them. And when we discussed it, this one was a major philosophical change that I'm going to bring forward, because it's going to be debatable, and it should be. And it would, by including it, it would have been the main focus. So that's why I wanted to propose the amendment now. And it is actually chapter, a whole other chapter 13 of the SAFC funding guidelines. And I'm actually going to pass it out because it's long.
Okay.
And the amendment is, yeah, let's get it.
Here, Kim. You know, if we were building a building, we're not allowed to have 13. It has to be 14.
That is true.
A little comedy.
Okay.
Well, we're going to try a new one with this.
Okay. I didn't. So this proposal is an SAFC grant program. I've been in discussion with members of EMPT, with SAFC, in the Office of Assembly. And the proposal is to create this grant program to where programs and events that are of large scale nature that attract more than 500 students on campus, that are free and open, and that are held on university venues, are treated in different methods. And the front page kind of explains why I believe we need a different method. The current program has the current program does not provide mechanism for large scale programs to easily receive funding. If you do it on a semesterly basis with the SAFC, you have to be prepared for an April event in January, even if it's large. And when you're bringing a speaker that is huge in name, and you can only find out 3 to 4 weeks beforehand, it's almost impossible to get SAFC funds, and this is the primary venue where you get money from the student assemblies who are not allowing funds to the organization. And this is primarily why, because the SAFC has inherently not been able to fund these large-scale programs as such, because they come on short notice. And the grant program would be rolling with outlines. And if you look at the mechanism, it also provides the subjective methods where the student assembly can become more involved in the program itself.
He's making an amendment. Please walk us through the document, and then I'm sure we'll speak about it, and then someone's going to dissent. So you've proposed...
Chapter 13, SAFC grant, A1, purpose, to encourage large-scale programs...
All right, you don't have to read the whole thing. Purpose, you have the purpose, the guidelines, stipulations, all, you know, the procedures there. What?
Sorry, the first one, the guidelines. Am I reading this wrong? Did it say, and no more than 20%?
Yeah, that should be it. I know more.
Okay. No more, okay. So, Vince has proposed this amendment. Is there a second to his amendment?
Second.
Is there any dissent to his amendment? We'll open up the speakers list to begin discussing Chapter 13, which is a new amendment to the SAFC guidelines. I'm forming a speakers list now. Maznak? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I think the idea of this is good, but I think that us saying right now, I mean, I have a question for Jeff. You got to go out. If you or Taylor, as well as your partner, has spoken to
you. I can't speak to Taylor, but the person is not.
Okay. That's okay. This is okay. Okay. Well, I guess basically, I'm not sure if this is feasible for us to pass as an amendment, as an addition to the book right now. If they didn't move forward with this, I don't think we have the feasibility of this, nor will we discuss it right now. Add to that the fact that presenting a resolution format, which, if that's the case, should be presented as a separate resolution. There's tons of other resolutions that have been added to the agenda that have to be discussed first. I think this is going to take a long time for discussion, and it's a good idea that you can wait for the term. And Mr. Schofield from this before, I suggested adding a committee to look at this. Upon it. proper marketing of our institutional to actually occur. I don't think it's the right place to discuss it right now. We would pass it in respect to last meeting, and I think we should take a little bit of time in consideration to join resolution form, which, to be honest with you, technically is presented in resolution form, so it should be way this term that.
It's not a numbered resolution. It wasn't submitted to the executive vice president. So it's an amendment that he knew he was going to make. So he gave us the consideration instead of just reading it and having me write it.
Well, in that case, then, I don't think that we have Taylor's not here to talk about this. There's no other thing that we have to talk about this. So I'm going to be talking about today until we have
that. Jack. Ryan.
I actually just want to echo what Mazik has said. I think this is something that we have to, this is a larger issue that I think needs to, appropriations committee needs to look at, you know, where are bylaw funded umbrellas, groups that are, umbrella groups that fund other groups, you know, what are they not fulfilling? I mean, that's what I think I'm interpreting this as, that a lot of our umbrella funding groups that are bylaw funded, which are designed to put on large events like this, perhaps they're not doing, they're not serving all constituents of the undergraduate community. So I think we need to go into appropriations and discuss it. And so I would, can I motion it?
You can motion to call the question in the amendment.
Yeah, I'm calling the question in the amendment right now. The intention of this has to be somewhere else.
Vice President Ladd has called a question on the amendment, Chapter 13, which Representative Hartman has presented to us. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Second.
All right. Achman. Very briefly.
I really want to speak on this amendment. I actually worked with Vince on it. It means a lot for me to at least express my opinion. I ask Brian to withdraw his motion.
You can withdraw. Are you withdrawing?
No, I don't want to withdraw.
He's not withdrawing. All in favor of calling to question on the amendment, please raise your hand. One. Keep them up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. All opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Abstaining. The motion fails. Greenberg. Yep. That's not a point of information, but
I think we should give them something to work with and go through their rules first so they can have to go back to their committee. First of all, second of all, it's a huge issue that I don't think we're going to have time to do a just cause, so I think we should end. So I don't think we're going to do too much here. I want to make a motion to end today the resolution.
It has to be voted down first. You have to call the question to vote it down because it's an amendment to an amendment. So it has to be done.
Which is what I was trying
to do. It has to be voted down.
If he
is willing to do that, he can withdraw. What's your second motion? Is it a call to question? Is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
All right.
Is it one more time?
Go ahead.
I've worked on this amendment with Vince. This is really important to me and to a lot of student groups that want to bring big scale events. All I'm asking is time to speak on the amendment.
All in favor of calling a question on the amendment, please raise your hand. Oh, that changed. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13. All opposed. One, two, three, four, five, six. Abstaining. 19.
You could break.
13 to 6 is 19. There are 20 people here. Two-thirds is 6. From 14, 15. I can't. You need 15. What? There are 20 people here.
You need two-thirds.
All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. One, two, three.
Come here.
Nine, 10, 11,
I pull the amendment off the table.
Resolution 13 is off the table. Going back to the original speakers list for the SAFC funding guidelines, Steve Matthews.
Can you guys hear me?
I just had a question about the changes you made to Chapter 11. Does this mean that they require you to support email clients? Because, like, I feel like maybe if the student group doesn't use email clients, they usually just log on to the mail. How would they submit documentation?
Wang. Nope. Would you like me on the second one? Oh, he yielded. Oh, yeah, you'll go next. After Andrew.
Hi, thanks to you guys pretty much time for inviting us. I'm sure a lot of student groups are really appreciative of the hard work. I just said there's a few times during the semester where the SA had a face. There's some potential commissioner errors, like a commissioner mentioned something that was an error, or the last of mentioning something.
Can you cite an example?
I think it was one of the SA, I forget what the organization was, but anyway, like, if a commissioner made a mistake, is that oversight? I was just wondering about that. Like, how do you handle a commissioner making errors during the hearings that they have?
I know where it is in the document, but there is
that's okay, yeah, I actually remember that now, yeah, right. But, like, so, are we do not hold commissioners accountable for what they say?
Here's one thing that we are doing, in fact, we're mentioning our bylaws. And one thing we are doing, we're going to require all commissioners to go to a commission by each semester.
So 1 minute. Wait.
9.3.2?
Yeah.
Okay. Eligibility for funding.
Eligibility for funding for travel events. The last point, it says all travel expenses outside the contiguous United States will be limited to funding of $1,500. That's where it is currently.
Where? I don't know. Where?
Where do you see that?
It's all structured differently. It could be in a different place now. That's the thing.
Oh, right.
It's all, like, differently organized.
9.4.2. Yeah, that's cool. The bottom of the page. All travel expenses.
Oh, okay.
All right. The United States is limited to total spending of $1,500.
Yep.
I would like to amend that to read, all travel expenses will be limited to $200 per student within an academic year.
He'll answer that in a second. Is there a second to his amendment?
Second.
Is there any dissent to his amendment?
Dissent.
Dissent, okay.
Okay.
We're now opening up the speakers list. Vince is first. Go ahead.
The student activity fee per our charter says it is a mandatory charge paid by every undergraduate to foster student activities at Cornell. Groups using FAOC to attend conferences and travel off campus can have beneficial qualities, but students should not be entitled to use an excessively large share of the SAF for activities off campus. Money that is utilized for conferences cannot be used for organizations to plan events and activities on campus. The FAOC currently does not have a stipulation, as I would call,
set a stipulation for these large conferences. And I said $200 because the current student activity for the 2008-2010 cycle is $204 per student. That's why I said $200, because I don't feel any individual should be subsidized more than he's paying in the student activity fee to travel off campus when the student activity fee, its philosophy is to foster student activity at Cornell.
Jack. Lavin.
This would apply to club sports as well, right? So, I mean, question for you guys then. Does this, from, you know, club sports budgets that you've looked at personally, is this going to be a problem, do you think, for them?
Club sports are limited at 25%.
But, I mean, like, traveling in particular, is it common for that to be over? You know, is it common?
I wouldn't expect it. Personally,
I think it should be able to have
a breakdown in the current
system with the IRS rate and not the IRS rate. Just to get the breakdown coverage to how the students travel rather than just the number of students going. But I wouldn't prefer talking about the amendment is not taking away the breakdown. So the students would still fill out the itemized expenses to get that expense for travel. It's just they are capped when you include all those at $200. So if their mileage, their travel in that sense goes above it, then they're capped at $200 for the, because I believe in the philosophy of the student activity fee is the foster events at Cornell and not off campus.
NASDAQ.
So, I have a question. It still says all travelers outside the student is limited to $200 per student?
No. That part takes all travel expenses.
All travel expenses will be limited to $200 per student per academic year. And outside the contiguous United States will be limited to total funding at $1,500 is struck. Ian.
If all the other locations are kept where they are, $15 for students and lodges, and the rest of the funders travel, that allows for over 2,000 miles, because we fund it roughly 60 cents a mile per student. So 200 might actually be like 30. But again, we work from there.
Yeah, louder.
Okay, so if there's $200 available per student, can we fund mileage? Can we fund about 6 cents per mile per student? That is 3,174 miles per travel. And we still only fund about $15 per night. $15 per night in the lodging. So you're still going to be allowed over 2,000 miles of travel per student. So that might actually be a lot.
So, liaison Nezzy.
I don't know what this is, but the actual cost of the travel, though, you reimburse 6 cents per mile to get 3,000 miles, but what does it actually cost to get those 3,000 miles is something completely different. I mean, rising gas prices, right, fuel prices, all those kind of things. I mean, the 6 cents in terms of reimbursement for mileage is very low. I think there's a federal minimum wage for like business people when they're reimbursed, and 48.5 cents per mile. What is it?
50.5.
Is it? It is. All right, so then it went up since last time I checked. But you know, 6 cents is nothing per mile. So to say you can get 3,000 miles on 6 cents per mile. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily the argument that we should be making. The other question I had, this travel, is that just for the actual transportation, or does that include everything?
Vince?
I'm actually going to defer the question for the SAFT, because the original portion in it said all travel expenses outside the contiguous United States, the total funding would be $1,500. So what would your intention be for that?
The intention of the international travel is what includes all expenses.
Yeah, so mine would include all expenses.
Including lodging.
And as I was trying to state, this is not, it's going to include all the itemized, if it's less, it can still get it all. But if it's more, each person has a cap of $200. And if the club sport itself reaches that cap, then it's capped too. So if you have you have to just provide how many people are going, like prove the match. So it's $200 per person.
And the $15 per participant per night for lodging is in addition to that? Or they can only spend $200 per person per year for any sort of travel-related expense?
How much?
All travel-related.
Okay. I'm just curious where you can go for $200 on some sort of trip with lodging, meals, gas, all those kind of things. I think there should be more information and maybe a committee established to look at what is the average cost of a student organization trip, because I think 200 is a really just arbitrary number that was just thrown out there because it relates to some emotional appeal.
Asa. Andrew Wenning.
So I just want to, my point of information earlier, I don't know if you heard it, was that sport clubs, they're limited to cap at 4,800, around 4,800 really, for allocation. Yeah, because I know old fall will fix, you guys capped them at 4,800. So you said 25, they're capped at 25% for travel expenses?
Well, no, they're capped at 25%
of your total.
So, out of our cost of $1.2 million, wanting more money, 25%.
So you give them 4,800, and then you also let them apply for more funding for travel?
No.
So the 4,800, you don't use 4,800.
This year was 1 minute.
Okay, that's great, thanks. So, I think Vince's thing is actually a really good idea, because if you think about it, 5,100, so if you take $200 and multiply by 4 students, which is like around 10 students, it's around $2,000, and then there's also the other expenses, like you have to get a coach, or not coach, but you get extra costs, I think that would be fair. I think another thing that I'm trying to emphasize is the student fee is $200, around $204, and I think it's only fair that a student should be able to get as much as they're giving in, because I think it's just fair that
15 way. Seconds.
It's having so much, and it's like taking money away from your money that you're paying. So I think this is a good resolution, but I do think we should look into it a little bit. But yeah, I just want to keep that in mind for you all that are thinking. Thank you.
Would anyone like to speak again for the first time? Speak for the first time before we go on to the second. Achman.
Can I just ask you a couple of clarifications right now? So, right now, the total we're capped, before business amendment, the cap is 1,500. That's not per student, that's just 1,500 period, right? Is that correct?
Yes, that's the cap is only for international travel.
Okay, now with business amendment, I want to understand. So, if 10 students are traveling under your amendment, they can ask for $2,000, which is more than the 1,500 that they're currently capped at.
Is that correct?
Vince? I'm going to speak about answers.
Jack?
One thing to keep in mind is that $1,500 is the first semester, and the $200 is the
amendment
for
that in the year. So that would be. But I'm saying that this $200 is per student traveling, not per traveling team. You guys' cap is on a whole event. His is for
1 minute.
Each individual. Is that correct?
The cap is for international travel. There is no cap for domestic travel.
I'm saying your cap that you're placing is per individual.
Yes.
Not per event. I like the idea of limiting travel expenses. It's just I don't know if this is actually limited, just because there has to be an upper bound of cap. Which Jackie could explain to me, if we get rid of the $1,500 cap, I mean, what is the SAC currently internally cap travel within the United States at? Do you guys have any cap?
30 seconds.
Because I'm sure you guys don't fund every single cent against the student organization.
No, there is no cap on the
There is no cap on the Okay, call the question.
I was going to call the question on the amendment. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Vince, do you want to spend 30 seconds talking about the amendment very quickly?
I was just stating there is no cap on current travel. I'm proposing a cap on the amendment because of the philosophy of student activity fee, and that the student activity fee is the foster event at Cornell. And while travel events create a quality benefit for individual students and will help support teams compete, it doesn't really fulfill the student activity fee if an individual is getting more than the share that they put into the student activity fee. So if an individual is able to get $500 to go to one event, it's somewhat wrong. So I just want you to keep that in mind when you're voting.
Jack, I know you wanted to speak. Do you want to speak briefly on this amendment? Because we didn't get to you on the second round of speakers list. Nope. All in favor of voting for Vince's amendment, which reads, all travel expenses will be limited to $200 per student per academic year. Please raise your hand. All opposed. Abstaining. By a vote of 3-12-1, the amendment fails. 2? Oh, sorry. 3-12-2, the amendment fails. We'll resume the original speakers list. Vince is still on. Vince, 2 minutes.
Thank you. this is actually something you probably want to be it's filing error names. If an error is recognized after an application has been, I'll give you the test. If an error is recognized after an application has been submitted, an organization can still receive funding for that error, but must provide documentation that the error could have been readily corrected prior to the application deadline. An organization will receive a reduction in the stipulated area where the error occurs in the application. The reduction will be 25%.
Circle it. Did you circle it?
Yeah. Error. E-R-R-O-R. Error filing. As in, when a group submits their application, they forgot to get the advisor to sign it, and they easily could have, and the appeal to the student assembly because of that signature. So they would just appeal basically to the filing and receive a reduction in funds.
So right now,
this is going to go, they include
Chapter 5, page 13.
It's chapter 3, because it was a different, they changed. Chapter 3.1, general principles. It says if the applicant submits an application online in a timely fashion, but submits a hard copy up to one business day after the hard copy deadline, then the commission accepts the application but reduces the final allocation by 25%. What it would otherwise be, so that's the late fee portion. So another paragraph after that, exactly what I put at that amendment.
So now it would be
page 7.
It's page 7, so now point 3.1.2.
No, 3.1 under general principles, a third paragraph.
Oh, you're just adding a third paragraph.
Yeah.
Okay. And it now reads, if an error is recognized after an application has been submitted, an organization can still receive funding for that error, but must provide documentation that the error or errors could have been readily corrected prior to the application deadline. An organization will receive a 25% reduction in the stipulated areas where the error occurred in the application. Does everyone understand that? Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Is there any dissent to the amendment? Seeing none, it's now part of the active document. Back to the original speakers list, Liz. You're good. Anyone would like to speak for the first time on the speakers list? Greg Mezzi.
I'm on page 17, 6.4.3.4.
Hold on.
17?
6.4.3.4.
Yep.
There was a decision that was left out, and I think for consistency's sake, it should be to recommendation under number 2. It currently reads the rationale for the decision of the committee. It's actually been suggested that it become a recommendation of the committee.
All right.
Well, wait, in that sense, though, it's different.
What?
I mean, the committee still made their decision, which is a recommendation, but...
But all the other decisions of the committee, which have been set to read as recommendations.
All right. Someone has to make that amendment, then. Speakers for the first time. Second speaker's list is now being formed. Mazda. There's been an amendment that now reads that 6434, part 2, says a rationale for the recommendation of the committee. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay. That's in. What's the next one?
On page 731, general principles, says the commission will not accept late commission. Jeff,
deadline for when these commissions get special allowed. What is the circumstance here? Who qualifies one? I just think that what should be your better system. We will not accept late commission, that's it. And then so we need to take the commission before the deadline, because circumstances are creating that problem. And if it actually is a problem, then you guys need to correct the field, or we can correct it. But I think it's just too problematic to leave it in the discretion of the executive committee to actually guide on the not specifically lay that out.
Okay, so the disposition of the chair was in the last discussion we had on technical difficulties in the discussion. And the appropriations to be made representations that stipulation that external the process that must be
30 seconds. The commission will not accept late submissions. Period. Everything else is deleted.
Just that sentence. The second sentence is still alive. If the applicant is in competition only in time and fashion, that is what goes to editing in there too. Just that second quality sentence. Just the beginning of the word is that the end of the first word is circumstances.
And then the applicant must inform. Okay, and then the next paragraph, if the applicant submits an application online in a timely fashion, but submits it hard copy, what are you changing in that? So the only thing you're changing is striking, except at the discretion of the executive committee if it finds there were extenuating circumstances. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? No. That is now part of the document. Lavin.
Oh, right. I wanted to ask about what exactly was new in the section of it talked about ethical conduct for groups. What chapter is that?
Chapter 2.
What exactly is new in that section? From the old one. So,
Page three.
What? Say that again?
Gotcha. I mean, the next one's just resources.
Okay. Okay, so there's no new form of enforcement that you guys now have on the basis of ethical conduct? Okay.
You're done?
That was
good. Ahmed. Is it a call to question on the SAFC guidelines proposed? Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Ian? Could you speak into the microphone? I can't hear you. All right. All in favor of calling to question on the SAFC guidelines, please raise your hand. 4, 5.
Entry. Point of privilege.
Yeah.
We know what the five words are.
Nope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Motion fails. Ahmed is, Ahmed, Ian, you're next on the speaker's list. So you're motioning to amend the document so that it now reads the commission will not accept late submissions in order to appeal for a full allocation?
The commission will not accept late submissions, period. Period, rest of the sentence. The applicant must inform the commission or keep that and then just add an emphasis in order to appeal for a full allocation. But not a document.
So are you getting rid of the deadline by email or written communication?
No.
So
add it to the end of that.
Or in a timely submission in order to appeal for a full allocation. Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Nasdaq? We'll just open up the speaker's list. Nasdaq's first. Lavin.
It does clarify something, and with the change that we have, I encourage you to read it, because I thought it wasn't necessary, and I reread it again. That sentence right after, you know, what we had before, it asked the discretion of the executive committee if it finds there were extenuating circumstances. That's kind of saying, the sentence after was kind of saying that, was kind of referring to that last part of that sentence, and so potentially groups may think that might refer to just not necessarily an appeal, just submitting the budget, and that could only refer to an appeal. Now, you know what I'm saying?
In order to appeal for a full allocation, it's just an addition. This period's deleted, and then in order to appeal for a full allocation. You can't, because we've already been discussing it. Call the question if you want.
Call the question.
Going to call the question. Second. Is there any dissent? Second dissent. Okay. All in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. All opposed. Abstaining. Pat. One. Almost. Okay. That's now part of the document. I call the question.
Woo!
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay. Jack, take 30 seconds on the document. Yeah. Just anything else? Any words of wisdom you'd like to impart on us? A policy of a committee by the assembly needs to be approved by a majority. We're just going to do a roll call vote. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
By a vote of 17-0-0, the SAFC funding guidelines are passed. I want to thank you, Jack and Taylor, for putting this all together and all your great work. There's been a motion to move Resolution 21 to business of the day. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? What? We heard it last week. It has to be on business of the day to be heard, though.
Should be voting.
Well, it's next on the agenda.
Yeah. Is that?
What?
I know. I actually had a motion.
Yeah.
I was going to move Resolution 26 to business of the day.
Second.
Is there any dissent to moving Resolution 26 to business of the day? Okay. All in favor of moving Resolution 26 to business of the day, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Put your hands back up, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All opposed? 1, 2, 3. Keep them up, please. Thanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Resolution 26 is now on business of the day, and it's next. It's a charter amendment. You can move it. It's a charter amendment. You can move it to business of the day. It has to be on business of the day in order to be voted on. All right, fine. Resolution 26 by Representative McGovern. It's printing out previous meeting minutes at meetings resolutions. Yep, Mark. Speakers list? Absolutely. Awesome. Ashley, in the interest of time, is it all right if we just start with 5 minutes? Is that what's that?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mark.
I think it's a fantastic amendment. I couldn't agree more.
I'm going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Nasdaq? Mark? Say your okay. Next on the speakers list is.
Okay, am I still on the speakers list?
No, you made an motion. Ahmed.
Yield the amendment. I say to make the amendment.
Nasdaq.
In the event
that there.
Just take that second step.
It's been a motion to strike the last line of the first "be it therefore resolved," which reads, "In the event that there is a highly contentious omission or error in the minutes, the dispute will be settled over email, and confirmation of the minutes will also take place over email." Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Seeing no one else on the speakers list, I call the question on Resolution 26. Yeah, go ahead, Kate. No one else? Yeah.
Has the question been called?
I went very quickly to call the question because there was no one else on the speaker's list. I did not ask if there were any speakers or community members that wanted to speak, so I apologize. There's no one else on the speaker's list. Would you like to go on the speaker's list?
No, I want to call the question.
Okay.
As is, I don't want to make that.
Okay.
Call the question.
Thank you. Going to call the question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Ashley.
I mean, I just want to ask.
All right. All in favor of calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All opposed. If you are opposed to calling the question, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah.
16.
Yep. Okay, it passes. There's been a motion for unanimous consent on Resolution 26. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Resolution 26 passes unanimously. Resolution 21 is now next. Vice President Lavin has signed on. Vice President Lessig will chair the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Catch me. All right, guys, I'll give you 10 minutes, and please go ahead. Up for debate. I'll give you 2 minutes each. Ahmed, you first.
Yes, sir. I just want to say thank you guys for working on this resolution. I think it's a very well-intentioned resolution. The only problem I see with this resolution is, I guess the way I see the SA is that we're elected to represent the student body. I think, like, making the random, first off, like, this random two votes thing. I think you guys can realize that certain votes come down to one vote, and I think an elected SA member is pretty much, their vote is worthless in comparison to the community vote, because at any point that community, those two votes can switch, can totally change the vote on the SA, and that's very problematic. And then the fact that it includes numbered resolutions, that includes things like funding allocations that if we would bring an amendment to the appendix and in a resolution format, or bring an amendment to the charter in a resolution format, having community members vote on
minute.
It is relatively going to be problematic. Is that correct? I'm not asking if it's problematic. I'm asking you, am I correct? They can vote on charter amendments to the appendix. Okay. I think we have to be very worried about
the
On the up and down vote, on the final vote, yeah. I think that's very problematic. I think that there's a lot of potential for abuse. I think people I think we are in like a Republican sort of government, form of government, the sense of we are elected to represent. And I think you just have this random two votes. And what if no one shows up and it's just, I'm not hitting on Liz at all. But Liz can literally just change the vote outcome of the meeting if she's the only person here.
Yeah, Liz.
Which can be good sometimes, probably most of the time, but I don't think an unelected individual should have
that second.
I think that's very scary. I think it's very undemocratic. Asking to shoot this
issue. Next is MasTec.
Two votes at the 23 versus 7
all the future bill is a little less than 10%. The number of the general show is covered by assets. It could be 10% more than 10%, most likely, which is larger for different people in the audience. Outside of that, we clearly have certain groups of people to churn talent on their side. They want to certain people to
be
militant, can move well on certain issues. And some just can't, they're just part of a larger body that don't really care. That's why they have the position from college, not only from the state here, and they judge who turns out to be the most qualified. We've already had guys tell us that athletes came from these meetings. So really, athletes out of the district only cause minus to athletes. We're not done talking about that. That being said, going to Ivy Council conference, I know that Dartmouth has a different
system.
Dartmouth has a system that would like a board copy. 23 seconds. Outside of that, everyone else comes to certain meetings as part of it, someone gets a vote. Show the commitment. You can just show up once and change the vote on the nomination. And then after that, you just not show up and not care. And I think even trying to get both systems is not working properly.
15. Time's up. Mark?
I wanted to put something up on the final draft of the mission, how Resolution 12 embraces fundamental ideas related to direct democracy. Actually, what it embraces fundamental ideas related to representative democracy. I mean, people in the United States do vote directly for us, but we vote for others. I mean, but fundamentally, I mean, the electoral order, you can get into arguments, they're not family, but it's popular vote, et cetera. And fundamentally, you vote for a president, that's not direct democracy. Direct democracy is what you have here. And, you know, I think basically if somebody who's devoted most of his, all my collegiate life and all my high school life to being a government geek, representatives serve two purposes. One is to represent the constituents, the other is to serve the trustee. What I mean by that is, the person uses his or her judgment. So since we are exposed to this, we have a lot more, we know what, when I was running in internal elections, one of the things I heard a lot about was the people, when they sit on the outside, they're willing to say, they know a lot more about what's going on campus and holistically. I think that it's important to keep that in mind. It's not, I'm not trying to lead us, that's not representative to be better than anybody else. But we are exposed to the information that's here more. Another thing is, I think it can really be overdue. So, say for instance, somebody wearing a mask is going to carry a resolution. If it was going to be unpopular, I come and I pass it out 2 minutes before the meeting starts, and of course I can add anything to the agenda at any time. I'm able to somehow enable it as a visitor to the day.
30 seconds.
I make sure that the corner Republicans, maybe one or two people are sitting on the audience, what are the only people that I've got two extra votes on? I think at least it's really open to abuse. I think you have a noble idea, but I think it's a flawed idea. I mean, for something like this in the future, I would like to do
that. Okay, the official meeting time has expired. Is there a motion to extend the meeting?
Motion to extend it to 6:45.
It's
almost 6:45.
Motion
to extend to 7 o'clock.
No.
Second.
Is there a dissent?
6:45.
7.
The motion is 7. Is there any dissent? Dissent. Explain your dissent.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay, we'll move to a vote then. We'll move to a vote then. All those in favor of extending the meeting until 7, please raise your hand. All those opposed? Abstaining? Okay, by a motion of vote of 10 to 7 to 0, it passes. We're here until 7.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to the speaker's list. Guy?
Okay, so I'm just going to kind of echo what everybody else has said, and hopefully I'll do it in less time. The whole one community member, two votes thing, Liz, I love you, but, I mean, to have the power of two representatives is a little frightening, even for me, because I count as a community member. I'm also concerned with the idea of double representation. This is designed to give everybody a say in the student assembly, right? A lot of people have two or even three representatives on the student assembly. If I'm a transfer student in the ILR school, I have the ILR rep, I have the transfer rep, and I also have at-large.
at three different voices on the student assembly that I can appeal to get something pushed through. Again, this is a great idea. It strikes me as kind of gimmicky. I think that there are much better ways to get turnout to student assembly meetings, and this seems like a short-term solution to a long-term problem. And then, to echo what Coombs said, this seems a little too easy to abuse. So that's my two cents. I yield my time to Chairman Eck.
Ashley's next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Ashley. Members who'd like to speak on the issue? Community member. Please state your name and year for the record.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Thomas. I really like the concept of more community involvement. The only, my biggest problem is the two-person thing, that no unelected person should have more votes than an elected individual. And I do think, however, that, you know, there is already good recourse for individual assembly members when they do want to get the message out about something. I mean, I've been to countless SAUs on my own, and I see what resolutions people actually come out for, and they are the important ones that, you know, are contentious. And so people do already have a good way of doing that, but that doesn't mean that they should have a vote, because in reality, the assembly members are the people that were elected to use positions. So, my concern.
Thank you. Andrew Wang.
I really want to thank you guys for putting effort and time into this. I think this is a great idea. I think it's the best. You really like care about the community and want to make sure the students get their voices, and I think that's awesome. And I actually want to say the great things about this. But like the problem that keeps coming to mind is like I'm trying to always defend negative, and the negative keeps coming up is that it's just I think it's probably because you know, like as Magic mentioned earlier, some students may not be officially registered, they may have the ID card, so you wouldn't be officially if you will really know if you're registered as an undergrad student as here and.
That's why you deserve two votes.
No, there's a negative, resolution 8 from last semester.
Minute.
There's like over 100 students that were in this room. Are you going to actually go to every student and ask them? Yes, no. It's like logistically wise, it's going to take a very long time. And I think like if you guys really want to push for things to get the communities inside, maybe put it in a vote, like the one of those, like the votes that we have had in the past, electronic votes, like a referendum. And I think like this is a great plan. Logistically, it's too difficult to handle, and that's why I can't agree with this. So I like the motion to call the question.
Got a motion to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Why?
I really, really would like to speak about it.
Awesome. We'll move to a vote then. All those in favor of calling to question, please raise your hands.
No. Oh, come on.
What's that? Yes, you are. All those opposed to calling to question. Yeah. Abstain? Okay. Motion fails. Nikki.
I think it's a great idea. I really do. I think that it's really wrong to assume that people are going to use this because it's not really giving the student body credit. I just think people do show up and knowing that they will get those, will show up with good intentions. I don't think that people are going to like conspire anything against or for against your own.
That's
great.
I think it's also good. Just a couple of questions. The first one, how did you come up with two? I don't know if you already explained that, but I was just curious how you came up with the two votes. like the rationale behind it.
Right,
behind
the vote is a way of saying that there was time where it's been really and rather than
four votes, I could do assessment. Sure. All right, that makes sense. Then my other question is the ID scanners that they're getting for slope day to scan student IDs, does the university own those or are those something that are rented?
They rent them, but the university owns the
data. Okay, so that would be something potentially that would be.
All
and
sure.
We shouldn't, the logistical concerns of the resolution are.
Point of information to chair, can you ask the director of elections how he verified the ID numbers on all the petitions that were signed?
Vince, answer the question.
Yeah,
Mark. Oh, Mark. Right. I saw you first. But.
There's a list of registered students that's made available to the Student Assemblies. Interesting point, though, to note is that not all students are on there. And if ever if already somebody were here.
Liz?
Yeah,
and you jumping out of the chair? Great. You had about 20 seconds left. Are you set?
I'm going to yield it.
He's not next. Oh, okay. Yeah. Please. Gotcha.
Back on the line, right. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the fundamentals of Republican democracy and how the elected members of the Cornell Student Assembly should have this great vote. And maybe I felt this a little more than anyone else, but being elected is really, say, time.
10.
Can somebody extend that?
Motion yes. To extend by 30 seconds.
Thanks.
Granted.
The difference between being elected and not elected here at the Cornell Student Assembly is not always a matter of votes, but maybe a matter of when you handed in your finances. Most people here win uncontested elections. So really, what's the difference between a community member and them besides they got some signatures and showed up? So our assembly is a real problem. I'd say the people here aren't, true representatives. Most people are uncontested. That's outrageous. I think the community members definitely deserve a vote, maybe more than, more than some of us here. I really, really support this resolution.
Okay. Vince.
I actually agree with Matt Beck. That was a little mean to you guys. But I agree with Matt Beck that the resolution, in darkness perspective, could have a lot of potential. And I think if you had members of the community who had to attend so many meetings, and then you incorporated with SA members getting more privileges than community members, but then by like a member of the community attending like three consecutive meetings, then they become an SA, they become a voting member of the SA for certain things, but it's a lot less than a member of the student assembly who is elected. That's something to think about. That way you're encouraging people to attend the meetings and you're not getting people to come out for the hot button issues. So I think the idea is we want more people to get involved. And if by getting, we would just make them involved in some sense by mem- like actively coming and not just attending once in a while to get votes. So I guess that would be my idea for changing it for next year, because I think it's not enough. We don't have that time to propose another charter change, and it's too much of a fundamental difference to make them. So that's my opinion, and with that, I'm going to call the question.
Is there a second?
Second.
Dissent?
Dissent.
Explain.
We the sponsors, Brian and I are both on the street, so we'd like to address a couple of things that haven't been touched upon.
Sure. We'll move to a vote. All those in favor of calling the question, raise your hands. All those opposed? Motion fails. CJ?
We passed a resolution that says that the entire student body is able to vote in popular elections as president. And I didn't hear anything mentioned them back then when we discussed it, that you know, they're not familiar with the, what was it, what's going on politically. So isn't it a little arrogant that we think that we're just the be-all and all of knowing how things work on campus? I think there are plenty of individuals in the campus who know a hell of a lot more. So, you know, we're trusting them with deciding who our student government president and the vice president is. Why is it such a far-fetched idea to invite them to a meeting, provide an incentive for them to come, express their voice, bring their friends to come along, sign, et cetera, heckle, and then they get to cast a vote? I don't think there's ever going to be a situation where we have one person in the audience and that person gets two votes. Because right now, you have Liz, you have Greg over there who doesn't get a vote, Sanjeev is here a lot. And there are plenty of people that would be willing to vote. We've already discussed the logistical issue of, you know, can the person, the student, come and register? Liz, I'm sure, more than one of them, wherever the clerk is, to go to her and say, are you a student here? Let's look, make sure that it doesn't take that long. I just think that it's important that, you know, we set a standard this semester that we're very interested in what the student body has to say. We're interested in incorporating them in anything, into as much as we can do. And if we come on this situation where they're able to come to a meeting and vote, that's a wonderful thing. You know, I've been on the assembly for 2 years now, and I constantly hear these comparisons to the federal government. We're not the federal government. We're not anything like it. It's three branches of this. It's one body that makes decisions. A lot of which are sent to body resolutions.
30.
A lot of feedback that's provided to administrators. I don't see anything wrong with incorporating the students' opinions and so, and not for big giving them a vote. And I yield the rest of my time.
20 seconds.
I just signed on to this just today because it's out. Well, I'm not going to support it all the time, but, you know, we had our first in two internal meetings, and we're going to really, you know, I think it's going to be a question of
it's been a motion to extend 30 seconds.
Well, I'm going to make sure,
Steve is, and then you.
He
was yielded to.
So it was his time to yield to me.
Yes.
Okay. I want to fire. I think that it's really good. Holistic view. I'm looking at this in a long term view. We need to really change the way we run the running. Does that mean compromising a bit how we are represented in democracy? And so be it. And I'm going to be a bit already. We have seats that are vacant. We have seats that are uncontested a lot. And I'm looking at a few people on this side of the room. I think it's fun right now. And if you're worried about, you know, that one vote that breaks the tie from, you know, being very important, that's just me more than representative of that really. I mean, are they that representative if they were not contested, you know, multiple years in a row? You can't say, you know, oppose that argument when, in fact, a system of representatives are no different than picking a random guy on the article line. So again, the fundamental issues that we have, and if that means money, proposing a fundamental change, then we really have to be here. And also, I mean, this is designed to work how it should be when there is only when these seats are all full. And no, they're not now. And if it was just two members of the audience, would this work well? Probably not. But again, this is really designed to change that. and that's why I do myself believe in someone next year. I'm going to make that risk learning. We need to change. We need to change how we operate, how we reach out to the community. And I think that's fundamental enough.
Woo! Do you yield the rest of your time to chair then? Yeah. Next, Chris. Sarah. Chris, Sarah.
Alright, I agree with Matt Beck from the side of the but I agree with you.
Next is Basil.
I think it really says something that the president, past, present, future are leading the course right here. These the guys that are most involved in the assembly, who are most well acquainted with the struggles of, you know, getting people involved and getting business to happen. And I think there's something to be said with respect to their decision to really relinquish some of their power to some of our power. Second, I think all of us are very well acquainted with, you know, group discussions where we, you know, we invite community members to speak, especially during, you know, gun control, et cetera. Those community members can still only speak once we, you know, what, four or five members. We allow one community member to speak. I don't think that's equitable. I mean, even, you know, we don't do a great job with community members of here, or even when they are here, of allowing them to be involved in the meeting. So I really think this resolution is one step in the right direction to get community members more involved. I don't think, unfortunately, that it's going to get passed today. There are going to be too many no votes across the table. So I'm going to go ahead and call the question, and hopefully we can take this up next year.
Just going to call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
I need a second. Resolution has been withdrawn.
Wait. No,
You can't do that.
You can't just withdraw.
You cannot withdraw already.
You can't withdraw.
They
don't have the floor.
They don't have the floor. And they have the
well, all three of us have removed ourselves as sponsors from the resolution.
Oh, wow. I have my vote with the sponsor. You already removed yourself. I don't know.
I have
chair.
All right.
We'll stay there. We'll all three of us.
Please. It's the three of them.
I think we should just vote on the question.
Just going to call the question. Okay. You dissent. Why?
I think we should talk more.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go to a vote and whether or not to vote. So all those. Never mind.
Okay.
So we'll continue with the first speaker's list. Rebecca Smith.
Okay, I agree with someone who Chris Carr said. I just think that if people want to vote, I think that they should run. I think that's the problem. And I know that researchers don't know some support of solutions, but I think that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on getting people to run for elections. Because, I mean, the difference between someone who ran opposed to someone sitting in the audience is that they actually took the initiative to solve the form and actually want a vote. So I think that's what we need to focus on.
Minute and a half.
I've seen 3 years of that and it hasn't worked. And that's my own problem. You know, maybe there's another alternative to something like this to try to age anymore, and I have respect for that alternative might not be there. You know, but others haven't worked. We have to really think out of the box. We can't collect the responsibility for the
Okay, we've reached the end of the first speaker's list. Is there anybody who wishes to speak who has not yet spoken? Okay, at this point I'd like to ask if there's any community members who'd like to speak. Liz and
I think this is a great idea, but I've been recording you guys' votes on resolutions for like the past 2 years and I can barely remember any that have been like within 2 votes for those of you who are considering opposing it. I think that's something important to give community members a voice.
Rebecca?
I just have one question. What exactly, if there are more religious people here, since there are unelected members, what is the recourse to decide who gets to vote? But if there are 3 people who want to vote and only 2 votes, how is it decided who gets to vote?
Okay. I've been making a second speaker's list. MassDeck, you're up. The question, is there a second?
Second.
Dissent? We'll go to a vote. All those in favor of calling the question? All those opposed? Okay. Best.
To call the question.
To call the question. So now we're going to call the question. We'll do a roll call vote.
Sponsors get time.
Sponsors get time. I'll give you 5 minutes.
How much?
5 minutes.
I just think it's absolutely absurd. People were elected. You're worried about electing people? Imagine, when was the last time you went out with a straw poll for international students or what they think about half of the nonsense that you bring forward? It's absolutely absurd. Chris said, I love your money, but you got to get off the high course because we have 20 people more that keep encouraging them to vote.
encourage them to run for student assembly? Like, it's just frustrating. Why would they want to do this? It can't get things done. And it's a bunch of people who think it doesn't matter what other people.
Can you limit your comments to the resolution?
Please? I am.
Well, point of information, it's an parliamentary procedure to make comments to the chair, not actually to actual members and attack them in form.
Nevertheless, I just think it's a shame that this resolution, which, I mean, the Sun Tomorrow could have read SAX 2C and now incorporate people into voting because they want to bring these people in, they want to listen to what they say, and maybe the SA doesn't care about what people say on their campus. But if not, it's going to say SA voted down because they don't think that the students on this campus know a lot about what's going on because they I can't believe it. That everyone ran here, they wanted to be elected, they wanted to represent people, they had all these goals and missions, and they wrote about what they wanted to do on the assembly. It happened. How it changed.
3 minutes.
No, thank you. Half of which wasn't even done, and then when they get the opportunity to incorporate more and more people into coming to an essay meeting and voting and initiatives and speaking their mind and sharing their opinions, they can't do it, and that's just a shame. I'm very disappointed.
With that, we'll move to a roll call. Okay.
People have the room. We got it.
Yes.
What?
People have the room. We got to do this. Well, but
they
well,
all
say,
I want to say is that they
do. No, they give them five. Let them continue. Yes. I gave them five.
It's 2 minutes of the standing rules, and somebody else has the room. So if you folks would. I mean,
you can give me 30 seconds and call the roll.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
All I want to say is this appropriate action in order to really change the fundamental problem system, probably not. And you know what? I mean, if you just pass it, great. Give me an opportunity to really make a change. It didn't work for people.
Sam. Clerk, please call the roll.
No. Yes.
No.
No.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I got. So the resolution fails, and we've reached the end of our meeting. Adjourned.
Thanks for staying late, everyone. Have a great weekend. Have a great show. No mass advertising.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.